Okay, tonight is Monday night, October 8th, or 28th day of the month of Tishrei. We're up to the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Sukkah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Okay, the Mishnah says, Hayoshein Tachas Hamita Lo Yatza Yedei Chavasa. Somebody decides to sleep in a sukkah, but underneath his bed. Why is he going to sleep underneath his bed? It's not my issue. But he's sleeping underneath the bed. So the Mishnah says that he has not satisfied his obligation of eating in the sukkah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Nohagim hayinu shehayinu yeshenim tachas hamita b'fnei hazakenim. The practice was that we slept underneath the beds in the presence of the elders, v'lo amru lanu davar, and they never said anything to object to this particular practice. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ma'ase b'tevi avdol shel Rabban Gamliel. There was once an episode with Tevi, the slave of Rabban Gamliel, shehaya yoshein tachas hamita. He, Tevi, was sleeping underneath the bed. V'omar lehen Rabban Gamliel zekenim, and Rabban Gamliel said to the elders, Re'isim Tevi Avdi, Shehutam L'Chacham. You see my slave Tevi? He's an incredible Talmud Chacham. V'yodeya sha'avadim p'turim in asukha. And he knows that an Eved Kena'ani, which Tevi was, is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, because an Eved Kna'ani is exempt from all mitzvot asei shehazman grama, just as a woman is exempt from mitzvot asei shehazman grama. And that's why he decided to sleep underneath the bed, knowing full well that he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah by sleeping underneath the bed. That's all Rabban Gamliel commented. Lefikach yoshein hu tachas hamita. And based on his remark, we have inferred, we have now inferred from that remark, he didn't really say that you're not Yotze, but he certainly implied it. He was saying, look what a genius my slave Tevi is. He knows that a woman is exempt, and therefore he slept underneath the bed. Now, he didn't really say that a man who slept underneath the bed would not be Yotze, but you certainly can infer it from Rabban Gamliel's statement, because otherwise, what would be the big genius of Tevi? If the halacha was that if you sleep underneath your bed, a man, you are Yotze the mitzvah, so why did Rabban Gamliel think that his slave Tevi was such a genius and is such a Talmud Chacham by sleeping under the bed? The only reason why you can assume that he exhibited any special expertise in halacha was on the assumption that you are not Yotzei the mitzvah, but knowing that he's not obligated to observe the mitzvah, therefore he decided to sleep underneath the bed. That's what the Mishnah says. So we're going to see Rashi and then two Tosfos for tonight's share. Let's first take a look at Rashi. First Rashi of the Perek. Hayoshein tachas hamita lo yotza. Says Rashi, de ohel matzik beino l'sukkah. Because the reason why if you sleep underneath a sukkah, underneath a bed, you are not yotze, is because you've created a hefsek, a chatzitza, between yourself and the schach. The bed itself is an ohel. And as a result, this ohel, this covering, the bed itself is a covering, serves as an interruption between you and the schach above you, and for this reason, you are not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara in a couple of seconds will make a very strong qualifying remark to what Rashi is saying, but thus far that's what Rashi says. So the chisaron is, the issue is, that where he is sleeping, there is something in effect being mafsik between himself and the schach, namely another ohel. The ikar yeshivas hasuka, achila, shtia, v'shena. And what is considered the three primary aspects of the mitzvah of sukkah? To eat in the sukkah, to drink in the sukkah, and to sleep in the sukkah. So that's what Rashi says. Now many Achrayim point out that why does the Mishnah give an illustration of Hayashen Tachas Hamita? Why didn't the Mishnah give an illustration Ha'ochel Tachas HaSukkah? Why didn't the Mishnah give that? And everybody points out, because nobody on this planet is going to eat underneath the bed. However, sleeping underneath the bed was a possibility due to the fact that a sukkah has limited space. So in order, the way you get two people to sleep in the sukkah is one person sleeps on the bed, the next person sleeps underneath the bed. So therefore the Mishnah gives an illustration to illustrate the halacha based on something that you perhaps would have expected somebody to sleep underneath the bed. However, the second thing that Rashi quotes is actually subject to a machlokes rishayim. Rashi claims that ikar, three things are considered essential elements of the mitzvah of sukkah: eating, drinking, and sleeping. Now, eating and sleeping, everyone agrees that under all circumstances, they must be done in the sukkah itself. Sleeping, you're not even permitted to take what we call a nap. I spoke about it one night. A nap you're not permitted to take out of the sukkah. That's required. Eating, we allow a snack, which is defined as pachos mikibetza, less than the size of the volume of an egg, that you are allowed to eat out of the sukkah. But anything more than that, you're not permitted to eat in the sukkah, out of the sukkah. What about drinking? Are you allowed to drink any and all liquids out of the sukkah? So this is going to be a machloikis rishayin. Rashi here seems to say that just as one is not permitted to eat out of the sukkah, you're not permitted to drink out of the sukkah. And the only type of drinking that we would allow is what we would call a shtiyas arai, you know, a little glezel of asa, drink of water. But something which by definition is considered a significant drink, such as yayin, would have to be drunk in the sukkah. And that is indeed the Rambam Shita. If you look in the Rambam Perik Vav, Halacha Vav of Hilchas Sukkah, the Rambam writes, Umutar lishtos mayim vele'echol peros chutz l'sukkah. You're allowed to drink water out of the sukkah, and you're allowed to eat fruit as much as you want out of the sukkah. The Rambam does add that somebody who is careful not to even drink a glass of water out of the sukkah, hareza mishubach, he is to be praised. But al pidin, you're allowed to eat it out of the sukkah. However, but what are you not, the Rambam emphasized, what are you allowed to drink out of the sukkah? Mayim. Because water, by definition, is not considered a significant drink. However, yayin, the Rambam says, you are never permitted to drink out of the sukkah. Because yayin, by definition, is considered a ma'achal chashuv. You can even be koiveya su'uda al hayayin. You can, in effect, fix, create your meal focused on wine. As a result, the Rambam holds, you are not permitted to drink yayin chutz l'sukkah. And that's perhaps what Rashi has in mind as well. Don't forget, bizman hatana'im, and Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, not Rav Chaim, has given many yeshurim on Yayin Netzach and so on and so forth, and he's often emphasized that wine, Bizman HaMishneh, was drunk like water. Like we drink water at a meal, that's how in the time of Tanaim they drank wine. It was considered the main drink of every single meal. The Mishnah discusses yayin shalifnei hamazon, wine which you drink before the meal, yayin besoch hamazon, yayin shalachar hamazon, all different drinkings of wine. They drank wine constantly. That wine is not permitted to be drunk out of the sukkah according to the Rambam, and Rashi apparently agrees. However, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman, Tuf Reish, Lamitet, Seif Beis, the Mechaber writes, and I quote, Umutar Lishtos Mayim V'yayin V'peiro V'le'echol Peiros Chutz L'sukkah. You are permitted to drink water, you're allowed to drink wine, and the Mechaber has no qualification whatsoever how much wine, just says you're allowed to drink wine out of the sukkah. And the Ramah adds, Afilu Kova Ilayu. Even if you decided to make a meal, Kviyat Suda Al Hayayin, it is still permissible Chutz L'Sukkah. Logically, it's a little difficult to understand that position. Why suddenly should the requirement of dwelling in a sukkah, Teshvu Ke'en Taduru, to live in your sukkah, in the manner which reflects your residence at home, why suddenly should there be a difference between liquids and solids? Part of a meal is wine, and if you have to eat your meal in the sukkah, why suddenly should be able to drink unlimited amounts of wine out of the sukkah? It's very difficult to understand. But nonetheless, the Mechaber, and he gets this from various Rishonim, the Ritva and a couple of others, who say that apparently, even though in normal situations, Shtia is usually included in Achila, for example, on Yom Kippur. Did anybody ever say that you're only not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but you're allowed to drink? Yeah, I once heard a conservative rabbi tell that there's time here. That on Yom Kippur, you're only now allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. You're allowed to drink water as much as you want. Okay, but we don't postulate like that, conservative rabbi. We say there's no difference between Achila and Shia. So it's difficult to understand what is driving the Mechaber's psak in allowing you to drink something which you can be kaveya sa'uda on, a dabar chashuv, and allow you to go ahead and eat it chutz l'sukkah.
But you know you must separate achil and shtia.
No, we don't count. It's one inuyin. Achil and shtia is one.
Is
one of the inuyin. Then there are four others. That's the proof that it's all one. All one. The Brisker Rav adds that despite the fact that the Mechaber allows you to drink out of the sukkah, nonetheless, if you do drink yayin and anything else in the sukkah, you are mekayim the mitzvah of teshu kein taduru. And according to the Rambam Shita, who claims that you make a bracha any time you enter the sukkah, not like we Ashkenazim who follow the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the only time you make a bracha when you enter the sukkah is when you eat, but if you sleep, if you learn, or anything else, you don't make a bracha. According to the Rambam, who says that you make a bracha for anything, even according to the Mechaber, that you're not obligated to drink wine or water, for that matter, out of the sukkah. If you do eat in the sukkah, you are mekayim the mitzvah of basukah seisha shivas yamim, and you are entitled to make a bracha of leishay basukah on that drinking. But you should know that there is a machloikis mishonim as to whether or not there is an isur of shtia chutz l'sukkah or not. Rashi and the Rambam, definitely yes. The Mechaber, definitely no. Yeah.
So is that, notwithstanding what you just said, is that at all an issue with when you make the leishis of sukkah during the daytime, whether you make it on the kiddush or you make it on the amosi?
It's an interesting question. That is an excellent thing to ask, but that would explain the machlokes when you should make the leishis of sukkah. There is a debate among certain achronim on the night of Kiddush, or whenever you're going in, especially during the day,
during the day,
when should you make the Leishah Basukah? Should you make the Leishah Basukah when you make Kiddush, you know, Eilu Mayadeh Hashem Mikroi Kiddush, or should you make it on a Maitzi Lechem? That very well, it's excellent. could be the source of the machloikis. That those who claim that you should say it on the in Kiddush, that's the Rambam sheet, because you're not allowed to drink wine out of the sukkah. So therefore, if you can't drink it out of the sukkah, you're entitled to make leishei basukkah. And those who suggest that you're supposed to make it on the bread, on the pas, it's because they believe the yayin could be drunk out of the sukkah. So if you can drink the yayin out of the sukkah, there's no chiyuv the way we paskin not to make a bracha unless you're chayav bidavar, and that would only be a pas. Excellent observation. Send it in someplace. I like that. Yeah.
You're not going to the mitzvah. You haven't fulfilled an asay. You were bavato an asay. You were over a lav.
Okay, so that's a very, the simple meaning is you have not been the kind of mitzvah asay of asukas teisha shivas yom. You're asking another question. What happens if you eat in the sukkah but underneath the bed? Are you violating an isur of eating out of the sukkah? That's the question you're asking. I think that's what you're asking, which is a sharp question.
Yes.
Right? How far do we go to say that this ohel is mafsik? Is it only going to deny you the kiyum mitzvah, or do we treat it as if what? I'm asleep. I'm eating in the backyard someplace.
I'm going to be somewhere in the middle.
What?
I'm going to be in the middle.
Okay. We're going to see, not tonight, but we will see there is a possibility of a compromised position. It's an excellent question.
You don't see it in the mice of the Tevi, though.
What?
The
Tevi's potter.
Right.
He's potter. So for him, it makes no difference. When we're talking about someone who's high as a sukkah, the question is he only blowing the kiyum mitzvah, or does he violate an isur as well? Because when you eat bread, not only is you in a mitzvah to eat sukkah, there's an isur to eat out of the sukkah.
But maybe even what's implied in Tevi is, he's part, so it doesn't make a difference whether he's on.
And he has no isur.
But somebody who's higher, what would you infer from that? That maybe he could be yosef and mitzvah being in the
sukkah? No. There's no chance that anybody who's higher can be yotzei the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The only question is, somebody who is chayiv, who is under the bed, is he violating isur as well, in addition to not being a kind of mitzvah? Is he violating isur, eating out of the sukkah? Because he's underneath the bed. Yeah.
What exactly is he accomplishing by...
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you ask him, what's he there for? Taisus will ask that question. Okay. Taisus, what's he doing in the sukkah? He's not there. You'll see.
Serving his master.
What? Okay, we'll see. Tosis didn't even give that answer. He had another answer. Yes. So, that's the machloikis. Let's now take a look at the first Tosis. And Tosis here says something that is incredibly difficult. Hayashen tachas hamita v'suka lo yotzi yidei chavasa. Okay? Now, Tosis is going to assume that you took a peek at the first two lines of the Gemara. So since Tosfos is operating on that assumption, please look at the first two lines of the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, V'holecha asara, between ground level and the bed, there are no 10 tfachim between ground level and the bed level. It's lacking 10 tfachim. If it's lacking 10 tfachim, asks the Gemara, that should not be considered an ohel inside. To be inside the sukkah to block you from what? From the schach. The only way that the ohel can block you from the schach is under what circumstances? If there's an ohel. But if halachically it's not considered an ohel, so just as if you're sitting underneath, underneath the table, whatever, table and the bed's the same thing, if it's not halakhically an ohel, you are sitting underneath the sukkah, underneath the schach. So therefore the Gemara asks, there is no tent fachim between ground level and the bed, therefore it could not have created what? An ohel. Answers the Gemara, okay. Okay, no problem. How high was the bed? The bed was 10 tefachim off the ground. Very simple. That's what Shmuel said. Okay? Is anybody troubled with this Gemara's question? Anybody troubled with the Gemara's question?
No.
Doesn't all have to be ten seconds?
Of course not! Correct! It's the question which all Rishonim ask. That in order to create a tefach, excuse me, an ohel, all you need is a tefach. That's all, one tefach worth. But if there is no, if there is a tefach, it automatically creates an ohel. So, I'll give you a practical example. Years, in certain communities, a lot of times, people like to cover their schach in case it rains with something, when it's raining. This year, thank God, we didn't have to worry about that. But people would cover. In Yiddish, they call it a schlach. Now, to put something on top of the sukkah, on top of the schach, is making another ohel. So forget about postling the sukkah. You don't mind postling the sukkah because it's raining. But the question is, on Yom Tov, are you allowed to make an ohel? Not allowed to make an ohel on Yom Tov. So therefore, the Gemara says, what our Shulchan Aruch says, that if you want to do something, you have to make sure that what? That the shlach is already on the roof. How much? A tefach? So that now when you roll out the rest of it, it's only what? Motzi al ohel aroi. I'm just adding onto what? Onto a temporary roof. So both in terms of what? In terms of what the ohel covers, as well as the depth, there has to be a tefach in order to create not ten tefach. All Rishonim are going to ask that question. Why is that question on Shmuel? Doesn't the Gemara itself? The Gemara just said it is ten tefachim. The question is against the Gemara's Havamim. Why does it have to be ten tefachim? So that Shmuel has to say, yeah, the bed was ten tefachim off the ground. Why? So that, interestingly enough, Tosfos himself will ask, and we'll see in a minute how Tosfos answered, and others will show him a very simple answer. Now let's take a look at Tosfos. Top Tosfos. Begemara muki la Shmuel, begvoa asara. The Gemara said that Shmuel claimed that the bed was 10 tefachim off the ground. De pachos mikan, had it been less than 10 tefachim, lo Choshiv Ohel Lahatsik. It is not considered a sufficient Ohel in order to create a barrier or a gap between yourself and the Schach. Now says Tosfos something which is very difficult. Umatzinon Lameimar, and I would like to suggest, De Shmuel Lita'ame, De Mikshar Beperikama, Tachtona, Kishe'ein El Be'olyona Asara. Tosfos says, this Shmuel is going to be in agreement with another statement that Shmuel said. Shmuel on Daf Yud Omer Aleph is talking about a funny situation. The case there is talking about Sukkah al Gabe Sukkah. Somebody built two Sukkot. He built one Sukkah on the ground, put the Schach, and then the schach also serves as the floor for a sukkah that's right above it. Then you put up the walls and put another set of schach. And you are sitting in the bottom sukkah. Are you yotze the mitzvah or not? Are you yotze the mitzvah of sukkah or not? So now, the Gemara says that by in a situation where the bottom sukkah does not have 10 tefachim, where the bottom sukkah is not 10 tefachim high, only the top one, then you are yotzei the mitzvah. The halacha is that the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. The minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim high. 10 tefachim is 3 feet 4 inches. A tefach is 4 inches. So 10 tefach is 40 inches. 3 feet 4 inches is the minimum height of a sukkah. Therefore, claims Shmuel, if the first sukkah is smaller than 10 tefachim, less than 10 tefachim high, then when you sit in that sukkah, you are yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Because you're really only sitting in which sukkah? The top sukkah. But if the bottom sukkah had 10 tefachim, had more than 10 tefachim, then you are not yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Because it's sukkah al gabe sukkah. And the Torah writes, basukot teshvu shivat yomim, and the word basukot is written without any vowels in the Torah. It's written chaser. It's written samach, kaf, tuf. We read it basukot. But the way theoretically to read that word, as if it would not say basukot, but rather what? Basukat. Meaning you're supposed to be sitting in one sukkah and not in two sukkahs. Therefore, Shmuel has said, if the first sukkah on the ground is less than 10 tefachim high, are you sitting in a sukkah? If the first, no, you're not. Which, under how many sukkahs are you sitting? One. Therefore, you yotzei the mitzvah. However, if the bottom one happens to have what? 10 tefachim height, so then it's a kosher sukkah. So under how many sukkot are you sitting?
Two.
I'm sitting on the two. The bottom one which is kosher, and the top one which is kosher. Therefore, Shmuel said that the only way I will allow sukkah al gabe sukkah, when will I say that the tachtona is kosher? Kishe'ein v'tachtona ba'asara tefachim. However, if the bottom one has 10 tefachim, then Shmuel says, I am not going to be machshir the bottom one. Very nice. Tosfos is now saying that this Shmuel agrees with that Shmuel. Tosfos is now going to try to pull the wool over us and claim that this Shmuel agrees with that Shmuel. And in light of what I just explained now in Gemara, tell me why you have to attack Tosfos. Why must you attack Tosfos? Why must you attack Tosfos? Yes. Okay. Why must you attack Tosfos?
Shmuel says,
no, but what? Well,
it's two different issues.
What's the issue that we're discussing here? We're not discussing a sukkah on top of a sukkah. We're talking about a different issue. We're talking about a situation where I've created an ohel to be mafsik within the sukkah that I'm living. There's only one sukkah. And unfortunately, instead of living directly under the schach of that one sukkah, I'm sleeping underneath the bed. So the question is that bed, does that bed constitute its own ohel to be mafsik between me and the schach? Said Shmuel, it is an ohel, provided that what? It has 10 tefachim. What does that have to do with Shmuel's comment on that Yudam Rav? There the issue is not that the top sukkah or the bottom sukkah is an ohel interrupting what? Between you and the what? And the top sukkah. That's not the issue. Because you don't need the top sukkah in order to be what? To be mekayim the mitzvah. Which sukkah would have been enough for me? The bottom sukkah. But the problem is, there's an extraneous halacha. What is the extraneous halacha? That a sukkah, al-gabe sukkah, is possible. You can't have one sukkah perched upon another sukkah. Based on the drash of the pasuk, batukat teshvu shivat yamin. So the Gemara just said, when do you have a deficiency of one sukkah on top of the next? when both of them happen to be legitimate sukkot. Then you now have a deficiency touching this particular issue. Namely, I have one sukkah on top of another sukkah. When is the only way that you can have two kosher sukkahs perched on top of one another? When they both have the minimum requirement of 10 tefachim. Then you have one kosher sukkah, a second kosher sukkah on top of it, and the reason why you're not close to the mitzvah is you're only supposed to live in one sukkah and not live in two sukkahs at the same time. Our Gemara has absolutely nothing to do with that. Our Gemara is talking about a different issue. How much is necessary to create an ohel to be matzik you from dwelling in the one sukkah that is standing? So why does Tosfos claim that in light of Shmuel's comment here, that the gap between ground level and the sukkah happens to be how much? 10 tefachim. Why is that Shmuel buying into what he said over there? Well, what's wrong with the other? It's two totally different halakhic concerns. Yes.
That's why one might think that one should raise the objection of Ohel in the case of sukkah obviously where it's less than tefachim. Then one might ask, one should disqualify sitting in the body of sukkah because it's an Ohel. But since it's less than tefachim.
No, but Shmuel says just the opposite. If it's less than 10 tefachim, Shmuel says it's kosher.
That's the point.
So then Shmuel is disagreeing with what he said here.
Shmuel's talking about the custom.
No, Shmuel's talking about the bottom.
What?
The bottom doesn't mean here it's in Shabbat. The Tachtona, the She'ein, the El Yona, sir.
Aren't there like to say that, you know?
Is there a three-way machloket on how tall the tops are?
Correct. Correct.
Two levels of
okay, class. Whichever, right, okay, right. Is it one tefach? Is it our right, four? That's the three things. Shmuel happened to say that what? That what?
A ten is
not a sukkah. And therefore it's not a sukkah. Sukkah is not a sukkah. Okay, what's it the top sukkah part? If it's the top sukkah, so where are you living?
The bottom.
The bottom. If the bottom one has 10 tefach, right, it has to be the top one. Because he wants to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. So the only way in which you can't be Yotzei the Mitzvah is if what? Is if the top one was a real sukkah. Right. If the top one is a real sukkah, you will not be the kind of mitzvah living in the bottom one. Because you're living on two sukkahs. But if the top one is less than 10 tefachim, so then there's no problem. Why? Because I only have one sukkah here. I have a sukkah with a humpback on it. But it's not a two sukkahs. What's that going
to
do to someone?
You never get to that issue.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a ohel and a pasul sukkah? Why can't you say that Shmuel doesn't think the din is actually a din of ohel at all here?
Because if the top sukkah, no, here, nobody has said anything else.
Maybe that's what Shmuel is saying.
No.
In other words, he's saying, you think he made a pasul sukkah. It's made out of bed. It's a pasul sukkah. It's not a sukkah. That's the issue.
So look at Tysus' words.
I'm not trying.
Look at Tysus' words. What did Tysus say is the reason why Shmuel said so?
I understand
this. You're trying to explain Tysus, and Tysus himself has already committed himself.
Okay.
That the issue here is Ohel. Yeah.
And then we have to go back to the beginning. I mean, we lost over the question of why the Gemara is asking about the 10 step.
I'm going to get to that. Tysus is going to come to that a little later. But so Tysus first addresses the issue whether this Shmuel agrees with that Shmuel. They are dealing with two separate issues completely. Why does Tysus claim that one is an and if I didn't, let's assume I don't agree with Shmuel. Let's assume I agree with whoever it was who said that how much does the top sukkah have to be in order to pasul it? One tefach. Okay, let's do one tefach. That if the sukkah is even but one tefach high on the top, that's called enough to disqualify the bottom, for whatever reason it is. What's that to do with this halacha?
It's just
a reason of ohel, then it's very close to what we're dealing with here. But if it's a reason of sukkah,
no, but it has to be so that an ohel on the top would not be mafsik, because I'm sitting in the bottom sukkah.
If you put an ohel, if you have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, if you have an ohel on top of a sukkah, that's okay.
If it's a kosher sukkah, why not? Correct. That's because that which creates ohel is learned out from tumah. Whatever will allow tumah to escape.
So isn't Gemara suggesting that the problem, the deficit in sukkah based on is in fact ohel?
But that's not Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel's opinion has nothing to do with ohel. Shmuel's opinion is that it's a psul of sukkah on gabei sukkah. That's why he said the top sukkah has to be less than 10. Because just as in order to be machshir a sukkah, how much does a sukkah have to have 10? In order to pasul a sukkah, because of sukkah, al gabei sukkah, it also has to have 10.
Everybody
agrees
one
tefach oil
still
with oil. Of course!
Even Shmuel.
Even Shmuel! It's a Mishnah. He can't disagree with it.
If you had a one tefach oil and Shmuel case on top of a kosher sukkah, you wouldn't say that was a hefsek?
That's correct. If it's on top, that's correct. The only time that there is an issue according to Shmuel in our Gemara and if the oil is on the bottom. If it's in, not if it's on top.
And it's such a spot.
Yes, of course it's kosher schach.
So I can have an ohel over my sukkah, the entire sukkah?
According to Shmuel, 100%. That's correct. Yes. No, Tyson's talking about the top one. The top sukkah, from its floor level, which is the bottom schach, to its schach is less than 10 tefachim high, then it's okay. But if the top sukkah, is more than 10 tefachim high from its ground level until its sukkah, then when you live in the bottom sukkah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah because you're living in two sukkahs.
That's assuming the bottom schach is greater than 10 tefachim high.
The bottom sukkah has to be because you're living there. The only way to live in a sukkah is if it's 10 tefachim high. Otherwise, you would not be yotzei the mitzvah for a different reason. You're not yotzei because you're not living in a sukkah.
And I thought that was a Shmuel point, because it doesn't exist because it's nothing.
No, Shmuel, we don't need Shmuel to tell us that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. That's given. That's a mission. That's given by everybody. So that's one very difficult halacha that he suggests here. Very, very difficult halacha.
Did we discuss if the top sukkah is kosher in all those cases?
No, we did not. Because there's absolutely no...
What? The reason it's going to be kosher. 10
tefachim kosher. Correct.
It's 10 tefachim off the ground.
No, the ground level happens to be... It's like a balcony. A sukkah on a balcony level. That's what it is. It's a balcony sukkah. So that's the issue which Tosis happens to deal with. However, Oren said, what happened to the main issue? Why does our Gemara say that in order to create the problem, the bed has to be 10 tefachim off the ground? Everybody knows. So all we show you, I haven't seen one different answer yet. The Ramban, the Ritva, the Rashba, everybody gives the same answer. When is one tefach considered an ohel? If people would find it customary to be living in that space, to doing something in that space. With a bed, where do people most of the time sleep? On the bed. Oh, on the bed. Most people don't live underneath the bed. Therefore, creating an ohel with less than 10 tefachim in a situation where it is not at all customary to what? To live in that space is halakhically insignificant. And in order to create the ohel, it must be what? 10 tefachim up. To me? What? No, I mean a human being.
Physically present?
Yeah. At least for this person. Yes.
Is that explained on either this story? worry about sleeping on the bed and nobody saying
anything? No. Rabbi Yehuda apparently believed that you are mekayem the mitzvah, that ohel is not an issue. The debate, correct. Rabbi Yehuda is not an issue. Rabbi Yehuda believes that if you're in a sukkah, an individual ohel is not going to serve as a machzik between you and the schach. Therein is where the kernel of the machlokis is between the chacham and the Rabbi Yehuda. So all Rishonim said that the reason why it is halachically insignificant is on account of the fact that people generally don't use that space. And asiyat ha'ohel is only if it's customary to use that space. But if people would never ever consider that normal habitual use, then less than 10 tefachim is lo hashiva kol ikar, and therefore Shmuel says, as a double pashut, that in order to create this ohel, it must be 10 tefachim. Yes?
How does that reconcile with the Maran Brachos talks about having space between the cadaver and the top of the aron of the tefach so that the Kohanim can jump over the...
Right.
Yeah,
right, but that's the normal halakha of a tefach of space. So you're asking me why in an aron would you say that the tefach?
It's usable.
What?
It's usable.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, doesn't have to bump into the wall. To the golel, right? You don't have to bump into it every when they're moving it. You know, you have a little breathing room. Yeah. That's what Tosha says. Let's move on to the next Tosha. And here Tosha will now attack what's going on with Tevi. And I will distribute today a Ran who touches upon a very critical issue. Re'isim Tevi Avdi Shehu Talmud Chacham. Evet Kosher Hoya. We know that Tevi was a very solid citizen. In fact, the Mishnah tells us that when Tevi died, Rabbi Gamliel sat shiva for him. And normally the halacha is that you don't sit shiva for an eved. But what did Rabbi Gamliel answer? Kasher haya. It's Maran Brachos. He's a special guy. He was kasher, and therefore I'm sitting shiva.
How old he was when he
What?
How old he was when
No, not that I know of.
Never made it through yoga?
First of all, Yovel was not Noveg to Zman Rav Gamliel, even if it was, because you need Bias Kulchan. Remember from the Shir Shams. What? That's also true. Evet Kanani, Evet Ivri goes out the Yovel. Evet Kanani is the Hisnachaltim Osam, Lebnechem Acharechem. You inherit them to your children. That's correct. Listen to this. Ubi Yerushalmi Tani, the Yerushalmi says, Shehoye Maniach Tfilin. The Tevi what tfilin every single day. V'lo Michu B'yado Chachamim, and the Chachamim didn't what? Protest. Because the Gemara says that a woman, or in Shulchan Aruch it says, I'm not sure if it's the Gemara, but in Shulchan Aruch it says that a woman is allowed to, the Mechaber says a woman's allowed to wear tfilin. Because it's the mitzvah sasasha's mangrama, she's not obligated, but she wants to wear tefillin, she can. The Rama says, avomoichen biyadam. You should protest and tell them not to wear. But in relationship to Tevi, nobody said that he should stop. Uparich, and the Yerushalmi asks, michlifo shitasei, the Rabbi Gamliel. Seems to say that Rabbi Gamliel has what? Contradicted himself. The hahacha gabe sukkah, here in relationship to sukkah, michu biyado chachamim milei sheifa sukkah. The chachamim apparently said something to Tevi that he should not be eating in the sukkah. How do I know they said something to Tevi? That's why he was sleeping underneath the bed. Shahari hoya yashin tacha samita. The only reason why he was sleeping in the bed is he was told by the rabbis, you're exempt from this mitzvah, and therefore get lost. So the way for him to demonstrate that he was not being the kind of the mitzvah is to do what? To do what? Sleep underneath the bed. And here, And yet, over there, in relationship to tefillin, they didn't say anything. If they didn't say anything in relationship to what? To tefillin, why suddenly did they protest sitting in the sukkah? Says Tosfos, says Rishalmi, no. Mishani shehaya osekein shelo lichol keschachamim. Shehayu yishenim basadeh. Oh, basukkah. He didn't want to what? It's not that what? He was told not to. They didn't tell him not to. It's consistent. They don't protest anything that he does. So if that's the case, why did he sleep underneath the bed? Because he didn't want to cramp the style of all of the rabbis. There was not much room. So he said, you know what? I'll sleep underneath the bed. Uparich, so the Yerushalmi asks, Ishelo litchok es chachamim, yeshev lochutz l'sukkah. If there's not enough room, well, you have to sleep underneath the bed. Let me go into the house and sleep on a royal bed. Answers the Gemara. Answers the Yerushalmi. Ubishani derotza haya l'shmoa divrei chachamim. He wanted to hear the discourse that was taking place in the sukkah. And these guys were probably not only on Pesach or Yoyskin, Kalamayla, but even sukkah they were learning all night. So Tevi wanted to hear what they were saying. So therefore he put himself, and it was a little crowded, so the only place where he could go ahead and sleep and not bother the Chachamim is if he was sleeping underneath the bed. Okay. That's what Tyson says.
He was learning in his sleep.
What? No, he didn't, you know, yeah, exactly, through osmosis. Okay, so now I want to pass around to Van, who has a very important
We pass these around.
Yeah, it's just different paper. The Ran here takes a very important position about women who, and Tevi in this case, who are not obligated to observe a mitzvah, and they somehow perform a mitzvah. It's the Ran, the Dibur HaMaskel, the Ikol Ameda. That's the caption. On the left-hand side is the Ran, and on the right-hand side of this version. The Ikol Ameda, on the left-hand side, Amai V'Solik Adatayu, the Ikar of Yerushalmi. I want to analyze what was running through the Yerushalmi's mind. The Mishum Shuhu Asur Leshei Fasukah, that because Tevi was not permitted to sit in the Sukkah, Yashav Lo Tachat Tamita. He what? He decided to what? To sleep underneath the bed. Lama luhu lemifrach mehaheid etfilin. Why did the Yerushalmi only have to question Tevi's behavior from one halacha? Then what did Tevi do? He wore tefillin. Why did they have to bring that example? The ha'ad kan lo isligu hasam binoshim somchos rishus olo elo b'mitzvos asei sheyesh b'tzad asiyata tzad isur kishehu shelo b'mkol mitzvah. There the Gemara says, I'll explain it in a second, there the Gemara says that those who allow Tevi to wear tefillin must agree with another halakha that Nashim Sonkos Rishos. What is Nashim Sonkos? It's talking about the obligation when you bring a korban, you are supposed to put your hands on the animal, lean on it, and say vigor. So there is a debate in the Gemara whether or not women are allowed to make smicha or not. One opinion is Nashim Sonkos. The women are obligated to do so. Like, just like a man. Another opinion is Nashim Einam Sonkos. They're not obligated, and therefore they're not allowed to do so. Why are they not allowed to do so? Because if you're not being Mekayim the mitzvah, what happens? You're deriving some benefit from the animal by leaning on it. What are you deriving? What benefit are you deriving? It's holding you up. Holding me up. And, for example, therefore, take for example, the halacha is, I mentioned to you this last year, the first five machloikis, five generations of Tanoi. First five generations of Tanoi. They only argued about one thing. One thing. First five generations. All those five generations are listed in the first Mishnah, first parak of Maseches Avos. The Zugot. Shimon ben Shattach and Nitan Abeli, all of these people argued about one thing. It's the Mishnah Chagiga. What do they argue about? Whether on Yontif you're allowed to make smicha on that. Five of the generations, Shammai and Nikai Bailey and Yudit Shimon ben Shattach, said you're not allowed to make smicha on Yontif. Why? An animal is muksa, and you're not permitted, not only is it muksa, you can't carry it, you can't derive any benefit from it as well, as a result of your physical contact with it. So therefore, five generations says, the only thing they argued about, you shouldn't make smicha on yantar. So here, if you believe nashim sonkos rishus, why do I have to make such a statement, nashim sonkos rishus? Why do I have to make such a statement? Because without me allowing it, I would have said nashim should not make smicha if they're not obligated.
It's like it's
time-bound. Not only because it's time-bound, no. Well, what's the reason they should not make smicha if they're not obligated? Because you would violate an isur. You possibly touch upon an isur. What isur would you violate? Deriving benefit from kachim. Fine. Let's continue. And he writes. Here, again. The Ad Kamo if legal hasam the nashim sonkos reshus olo ela b'mitzvah asay sheyesh ba'asiyata sad isur kishehu lo b'mkol mitzvah shidol smicha b'karba shehu someich olav b'kol kol you lean on it with all of your force, with all of your energy u'mishkamesh b'kodshin and you're using, deriving benefit of a holy karba u'mishum hafi l'man v'letzle nashim somchos reshus. According to the opinion says, there ain't no such thing that a woman is allowed to do so. Asur. Not only is she not obligated to do so, but what else?
She may not
do so. Why? The isura ka'avik. Example number two. Ubetzkiya shayfar, the Gemara also says in Masechta Shabbos, in Masechta Shabbos, that a woman can blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. How do I know? Nashim sonkos reshus. So the Ran's asking, why do I need nashim sonkos reshus by tiyah shofar? Because nami ikos shvus derabana. There is a shvus. Generally, on yantiv, do we blow shofar? Why not? Why don't we blow shofar on yantiv? Sukkot, why are you now out of blow shofar? Why are you now out of blow shofar on Sukkot? Mashmiya kol. You're not produced the sound for musical instruments. It's also with the Rabbanan. You can't play guitar. You can't blow a French horn. You can't blow a shofar. Production of sound on Yantiv and Shabbos is up. The Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a knocker on a door, you're not allowed to use that on Shabbos. Because that's Hashmoah's kol. Hashmoah's call. Rabbi Schechter said, that's the reason why you shouldn't VCR something. Because if you hear that click, when it goes on, that's also Hashmoah's call. Okay, you can disagree. But that's what he said. Fine. Hanachas tefillin. Now why do I, by Hanachas tefillin, the Gemara said that a woman is allowed to wear tefillin only if you believe Nashim Somchos Rishos. Why? Nami ikar isu de rabbanan v'tnei zilzul kiddushasa. I can't really explain that too well. That you're mezalzel, you're cheapen, you don't appreciate, you don't take into consideration the dignity, the sanctity of kiddushas tefillin. I can't explain that very well. The daughter of Shaul, Michal, did wear tefillin, and the Chachamim did not object. Only according to the opinion who says women can do such activity. The kevon, the ikon, mitzvah, v'hanachasan, shari. Ha'leman, the lechlei, nashim, somchos, rishus, asun. According to what? According to the opinion who says that what? Nashim cannot make smicha. The next conclusion is, they can't let tefillin either. Ve'amrina nami, hasan. The ishto, shel yona, haisa ola l'regel. Yonah's wife, Yonah the Navi, made Aliyah l'regel. Kiman de Omar, Nashim Somchas Rishus. Why do I need Nashim Somchas Rishus? Halaman the Lesley, Halaman the Lesley, but somebody who holds a woman is not permitted to make smicha, asur. Why? Lefishi nikarebes, shalmi chagiga, shalobim kol mitzvah. Because she will be slaughtering a korban chagiga on Yom Tov when she's not obligated to do so. You're not allowed to slaughter korbanos on Yom Tov. The only korban that you're allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov is chagiga, which you are obligated to do so. But if you're not obligated to do so, so unless you believe nashim somchos rishus, a woman can't make aliyah l'regel and bring the korban. Avol b'sukkah. But sitting in a sukkah, ukayotze ba, deleka tzad isur, heicha hevasalit adate, shahayamokha rabban gamliel. But by sukkah, what could possibly be the reason why somebody would have told Tevi, get out of the sukkah? Up until now, we've come up with a reason. Why would I have objected unless I hold Nashim Somchas Rishus? Why? Because in each of the cases, I came up that unless there is a mitzvah to do so, there might be some type of isur. What isur could there possibly be by sitting in a sukkah when you're not obligated to do so?
Getting some benefit.
What?
You get some benefit from sitting there and listening.
Okay, that's an interesting question. But if you're, that's an interesting question. Because I might be benefiting from what?
From the sale.
From the sale. Interesting suggestion. Interesting suggestion.
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes, sir.
There is none. That's the answer. There is no, the only issue to use the schach is to use it for some other reason. Let's assume I want to make, get firewood out of it. So I have an extra bamboo stick. You now have to take down an extra bamboo stick and do what? Convert it into firewood. That you now have to do. But the stick, and without use of the object itself, there is none. The isolikochi, let's continue, date balav hahi, the tefillin, hevel matzul nifrach, lama yehe mochebo. So forget about what? The tefillin issue. But why is there any reason that anybody should what? Be protesting Tevi's living in the sukkah. Tefillin's got nothing to do with it. Why is there an objection by tefillin? Because zilzul kedusha, whatever that means. But no one ever said there's an issue of zilzul hasukkah. No one ever said that. The efshar and the run is stuck. And he makes the following suggestion. The efshar, top of the next page, the solik adate shahayimokhebo, the Gemara Yerushalmi thought that Rav Gamliel would have objected, kidei shelo yivarech aleha. Because what possibly were they afraid of? That if he was going to sit in the sukkah, what would he be tempted to do? To say a shalei shebasukkah. That would be a bracha levatala. Why? Because the Ran agrees with the Rambam that any mitzvah aseh for which a woman is not obligated to observe,
no,
they are not allowed to say the Berakha Samadhi. Because the Rambam and his compadres believe that the word Asher Kedushan of the Mitzvot Vitzi Banu refers to the person about to do the action. And as a result, all Chachmei Sfarad do not allow a woman to recite a Berachas HaMitzvah. In fact, Ovadia Yosef takes it much further than that. Ovadia Yosef says, even a bracha surrounding a mitzvah that does not have the text of Vitzivanu, a woman's not allowed to say. You know, Ovadia Yosef says a woman's not allowed to say Berachas Kriya Shema. Now let's say, Yotzer Oru Varech Hoshef, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Mas Avarava. Avadia says there's a woman should come to shul, say Kriya Shema, and she won't answer it. Skip Baruch's Kriya Shema. She can say Pesukei Zimra, don't say the Baruch's of Pesukei Zimra. She's not obligated to say Pesukei Zimra. A very truncated daven. Avadia says there's a woman's not a daven Musaf. Because women were not, here's the whole thing, women are not Muslim.
But in that sense, it seems to me it's not in all senses that an epiphany is equal to a woman in all respects.
For all mitzvah sasei is my brother.
Says my brother.
That's what
we're talking about. But he's a guy.
But he's exempt from the mitzvah. Right. And if he shouldn't start from the mitzvah, he's not allowed to say it.
If anybody makes a bracha, if Yisrael makes a bracha, anybody makes a bracha, regardless of the mitzvah, whatever they think, you know, whatever the machshava is, who cares?
It's a bracha of Akola. A bracha of Akola could be an Issa d'Oraita, as the Rambam believes it is, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Alukecha
Lashah. A guy makes a bracha of Akola?
That's right.
Okay.
And then he's not a Dari.
He's not a Jew.
No, all mitzvot atzei and every lav except for mitzvot atzei is mandra.
Right. So he gets whatever the onish is.
No, there's no onish. Yeah, he gets every onish, 100%. So therefore, the Ran says that's the only thing that I can possibly think would have been on the Chachamim's mind. Why would they protest, why would somebody protest heavies living in the sukkah? And why did he might have, that's why he slept under the bed. And Yerushalmi says, no, that's not the reason why he slept under the bed. Why did he sleep under the bed? Because there was no room. If there's no room, why didn't he just go upstairs? Ratzon lishmoa, divrei chacham. But the havamin of the Yerushalmi, that the reason why he did not sleep in the sukkah, or they would have protested, is based on the fact because there is a possibility that he would have recited a bracha, and he's not permitted to do so. Therefore, entertain the Yerushalmi the possibility that he should not sleep in the sukkah whatsoever. And so, the Yerushalmi, that was not the possible objection.
Why didn't they object to him wearing thong?
What?
Why didn't they object to him wearing
thong? Who? Because he was a kosher. So since he was a special person, and he was not the result of the Dusha Stilts. And not in so much for sure.
Why would they already make a problem when they put on film?
What?
They didn't make a problem when they put on
film. And a finale. So then, but there was another reason, a more compelling reason. Namely, he was the result of the Dusha Stilts, and he couldn't go into that problem. Therefore, they wanted to throw him, unless you held not in so much for sure. Okay, we'll stop here.